Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And on left wing, we have the superstar himself. The reason why we're here, future of German hockey, JJ Bednarek!
He's got a man wide open to the far circle. Shot scores, JJ Paterka.
That is.
JJ Paterka available and presumably ready to roll for the Sabres tonight in Pittsburgh. Eventful preseason for JJ, and I think this is going to be a pretty interesting show. I have some big news to share at the end of it with you, Marty. So, and I know you have goalie goals on your mind, so you probably have a lot to, you know, get excited about. But at the root of it all, it is a game day for the Sabres.
Yeah, and I think that's where we got to start, right? The Sabres have had a few days of practice. Look, they had the day off Sunday, but practice on Monday, Tuesday before heading out to Pittsburgh. And it was two intense days of practice. And I am really looking forward to this response. They got their first win, so the nerves are out of the way. You play the same way you did against LA and Florida in Pittsburgh. And maybe even ramp it up a notch, right? And that's the thing. But we do have availability for tonight's contest from JJ Paterka. We anticipate he's playing. The same thing with Zach Benson. Lindy Ruff said on the morning show on GR today that, look, Benson's dealing with a little something, but nothing that is going to prevent him from playing. So, yeah, the other day against Florida, he limited his minutes because he only had 11 forwards and he had committed to going with three lines. And right. When you go with three lines, if you're going to pick a couple of guys to sit, you're not going to throw him in after 10 minutes of sitting, and Benson wasn't going to go back in there. But I would think that with four lines and more of a regular lineup, Benson's going to be in the top six again just to figure out, is he with Thompson and Tuck or is he with Cousins and Quinn? Like, that's where I'm not sure what the top two lines are going
to
be like.
Do you expect Jiří to come out?
I expect Jiří to not be in the top six. Now
way to straddle the fence.
Yeah, I know. Because before the show, I'm always conversing with producer Jeff, and yes. I'm looking at the lineup and I'm like, oh, does that mean Jiří comes out or is Jiří playing with Krebs and Malenstein on what is the fourth line? You're not going to touch the McLeod line with Greenway and Zucker. So
I don't
that's
know.
Where, that's
I
where
don't,
I'm at.
It's not an untouchable line.
You're not doing it right now, especially after the way they played last game.
Right, but the reason we're having this discussion is you probably don't want to take Jiří out of the lineup after his best game.
I wouldn't take him out. So I think the odd man out would be Sam Lafferty for the game tonight. But again, it is a back-to-back situation. I don't like that coaches nowadays look at the back-to-back and say, okay, well, maybe tonight Jiří plays and maybe tomorrow I insert Lafferty in because I need energy and I need, you know, that never was the case. I know coaches do that more now, but maybe there's a little flexibility in the lineup knowing that you're playing tonight in Pittsburgh and tomorrow in Columbus.
Yeah. Dueling three-game point streaks. Whose gets extended tonight, Tuck or Malkin?
Ooh,
Tuck has 4 Tuck. Points in the last three. Malkin, yeah, 7 Tuck. In the last three.
And look, it's kind of weird because I've not really liked Evgeny Malkin's game so far with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He had an empty net last game against Montreal. I felt like the guys that led the way for Pittsburgh last game were the Lars Eller. It was the, you know, Raquel and Bunting were good, better than Malkin, in my opinion. Hayes and Achari, those were the guys. Beauvillier, those are the guys that I felt led the way for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, I mean, if that's the case tonight, again, then I think Tuck has more of a chance to extend his point streak than Malkin. But that maybe is another decision, internal decision, how Lindy Ruff sees the Pittsburgh Penguins lineup and how he wants his lineup to be going. Because I don't know, maybe you say, hey, Benson isn't 100%. So I'm going to keep Kulik with, let's see, Cousins and Quinn because he's been more comfortable. I'm going to put Peterka with Thompson and Tuck, and I'm going to put Benson with Krebs and Malenstein because I want to be able to take advantage of a Portland matchup and really play that game on the road against, you know, Mike Sullivan, who is always looking to take advantage of matchups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I think there's options there for the lineup for the Sabres in this game.
Little did I know until this very moment that you were one of the voters on the NHL's top 100 of all time that excluded Evgeny Malkin.
I put him 101. That's there you go, Malkin. And I'm still not over the slap shot and the breakaway in the playoffs that he scored on me. So that's why.
Well, you're probably not over all the goals that Sidney Crosby scored against you as well. However, Marty, you are part of a wonderful footnote. Wonderful, maybe not the right word.
Yeah.
An interesting footnote. The Sabres are trying to win three in a row against the Penguins for the first time since they did from the year 2005 into 2006. And that was a five-game win streak capped by you and a star performance on home ice in a high-shot affair in which the Sabres prevailed 4-2. Nicely done. Yeah. Crosby beat you twice,
but other than that, check here, you were clean. We're showing on MSG. I mean, I went full-out poke check, two-pad stack poke check on MSG, and this was in the 2006-2007 season. Yep. Obviously, I had the white mask on. We were back to the blue and gold in the slug, but in this game that we're showing the image, we had the Sabres original logo on, which I always love when we switched it up a little bit with a third jersey, a little bit like the Sabres are doing with the goat head now. It brought a different energy, even though we're in the same colors. But yeah, even Ryan Miller, smiling and long-haired Ryan Miller came over
looked
to congratulate
so happy me. For you. That was nice.
That is the end of my success against the Pittsburgh Penguins. It didn't start well in my career. First NHL game was not good. And then after that, I went to Pittsburgh, went to Philly, lost in the playoffs both years to Pittsburgh. And with the New York Islanders, got destroyed by Pittsburgh. And with the Rangers, I never played the Pittsburgh Penguins because it was Lundqvist all the way. They were such a big rival.
True or false, we're expecting Lukanen versus Jari tonight.
True. It has been both confirmed by both sides that they would be in the net tonight. One has scored a goalie goal, and one would probably hope to score a goalie goal in his career. Tristan Jarry scored a goalie goal last year. Lukanen, I think, like any goalie, would want to score. And now that we saw Philip Gustafson score one last night, I'm sure it's even more at the front of goalie's mind. Like, oh, I hope I get my opportunity.
I can assure you that if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was gifted the same opportunity that Gustafson was last night on an ill-fated, it's not even a dump-in, it's at a direct shot to the netminder, like, here, do something with it. And Pavel Buchnevich just gave a glorious opportunity to Gustafson, who was working with a two-goal lead.
Yeah,
obviously,
that's the thing.
He's going to fire it down the ice. Amazing.
So let's set the scene, right? With about 14, 15 seconds, there's a face-off outside the zone. They win the draw. The set play was probably go D to D, try to get it on net because you're down two with 15 seconds left. You're not going to have time to get in, set up a play, and then have another chance at it. So I understand why Buchnevich is going to say, I'm going to shoot it on net. But the one place you're not going to score on a goalie from shooting from center ice is on the glove side. Like, all Philip Gustafson did was, thank you very much, I'm going to put it down. Like try to skip it. Try to put it to the blocker. Like, do something with it. He shot it right at the glove. Man. He puts it down and shoots it all the way down the ice, which led me to do a little bit of goalie goal research today, Duffer.
Wow.
How many goalies have scored a goalie goal now with Philip Gustafson adding his name to the list?
Well, sadly, Darcy Wakalak didn't make it onto the NHL list after scoring with Rochester. And incredibly, there are some who have done it in both leagues, the NHL and the American Hockey League. producer Jeff and I took guesses at this before the show. I mean, not to use excuses, but I'm suffering from an overall body injury at the moment, so I'm not sure my
general malaise.
If I had a commanding unit in the army, that would be my title, is General Malaise.
Where's General Malaise at? Let's get him over here. Malaise, over here, please.
So anyway, Jeff was much closer to the actual number, which you're going to divulge now.
Yeah, so 15 goalies have scored a goal in the National Hockey League. Billy Smith was the first one, although he did not shoot it in. Ron Ekstall.
Colorado Rockies were the opponent, correct?
Yes, Colorado Rockies, Billy Smith. And then Ron Ekstall was the first one to shoot a goal in. But out of the 15, there's been 18 goalie goals. Ron Ekstall has two. Marty Brodeur has three. Here's the interesting thing.
Playoffs, Ron Ekstall's included.
Playoffs included. Yeah, 18 goals. Only Ekstall has a playoff goal. Brodeur also has a playoff goal. There's only been two.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about it is Ron Ekstall is the only goalie to have shot it in the net twice. Marty Brodeur has three goals. Only the first one, which was in the playoffs, by the way, was a shot in. The other two were own goals. So how lucky is Marty to have had two own goals in his career, not once, but twice. So Ron Ekstall, Chris Osgood, Marty Brodeur, Jose Theodore, Evgeny Nabokov, Mike Smith, Pekka Rinne, Linus Ullmark, Tristan Jarry, and Philip Gustafsson are the names that have shot it in. We all remember Mika Noronen getting credited with a goal. Chris Mason, Cam Ward, and Damian Rhodes of the Ottawa Senators were credited with a goal in an empty net. So there's your 15 guys.
I was in attendance for the Noronen goal, which was scored, of course, by Robert Reichel of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I was in attendance too, Duffer.
And I was, yes, I know. You had a better seat than I did. And I was in attendance for the Ottawa, New Jersey, where Rhodes got credit after Lyle Odelein placed it in his own goal. So,
well, funny enough, is that one, the Damian Rhodes was the first time a goalie had had a shutout while scoring a goal, but Jose Theodore, the very next goalie to score, was the first to have a shutout and to shoot it into the net. Damian Rhodes was, like you said, like a Lyle Odelein trying to get it back to the point. It went all the way down. And Damian Rhodes, Chris Mason, and Tristan Jarry are the only three to have scored in both the AHL and the NHL. And Tristan Jarry did it like by shooting it into the net in both leagues. That was pretty incredible.
So when you look at that list that you just offered up to the audience.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is the most surprising to not be on that list based on how great a puck handler they were in their careers?
I think Marty Turco is the number one name. Like, Marty Turco was so good at playing the puck. Yeah. People think that the trapezoid came because of Marty Brodeur. And yes, there was a, it's, you know, Marty was the, one of the first one to really play the puck well. Ron Hextall stopped the puck and shot it off the glass and out every time. There wasn't a playing of the puck. Marty Turco was so good at stopping the puck. How goalies now have their glove hand flipped over when playing the puck, that's called the Turco, because he was the very first one to switch the handle on his stick to be able to move the puck quickly. I thought he was really good. Tom Barrasso was also a very good like puck handler, although he would do the other way. He would be like Jose Theodore scored it like that. He would catch with the right hand, but was really a left-handed shooter. So he would flip it the other side and go with the full backhand with the curve being the right way. And he would like lift off baby that thing in the air.
All-time leader in goalie assists, Tom Barrasso with 48 in his career. So yes, it would stand to reason. Now, when you look at that list though, of top scoring, point-getting, netminders, the one that is probably still the most agitated to not have scored would be
Patrick Waugh, Marc-Andre Fleury. Like those two. Like, you know, poor like, Flower, he's on the bench yesterday, kind of like me. He sees Gustafson score. Fleury has been wanting to score a goal for his whole existence, like like Patrick Waugh. Patrick couldn't shoot the puck all that well, though.
Right.
Like, it wasn't an art in those days. There was a couple of guys that could do it. Not everybody could do it. It was an art. Maybe that's the other way around.
Yeah.
Funny enough, because we're going into this conversation, who is the first goalie to ever be credited with an assist in the NHL? And that happened in 1917-18 season.
I have no idea.
The reason why
Vezina.
Vezina, George Vezina, good pick, good call. Yeah. That's why I bring it up, because the Vezina trophy, but he's the very first one to be credited with an assist, although it was a rebound off his leg that went to a teammate and he scored an empty net. It wasn't until the 35-36 season, 18 years later, that this goalie became the first goaltender to make an intentional pass, and that was Tiny Thompson. With Boston, yes. Yeah. You know, so Tiny Thompson, it was during the Second World War.
Yeah.
No, he was actually playing, so, it wasn't the Second World War. That's a different thing, but because it didn't start until 39. So anyway, Tiny Thompson, the first goalie to have an actual assist by making a pass.
All right. So off of the goalie matchup, and that was a long stretch of goalie talk after mentioning that Luukkonen and Jari are going head-to-head. Luukkonen, by the way, 2-2 lifetime against Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Jari is 9-3 against the Sabres. Of course, the game is on WGR Sports Radio 550 tonight and not on MSG. So you'll have to wait till tomorrow to see Marty on the pregame.
No pregame, no postgame, no blah.
Well, you'll probably dominate social media at some point during the existence of this game tonight, right?
I'm going to try to
dominate. You've been more aggressive in that manner.
Follow me on Instagram, please.
I don't know if you had a singular person in mind for your focus, your emphasis tonight. I do. It's Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay.
What do you expect from Rasmus, based on everything that has or hasn't happened for him so far since day one of camp?
Well, I mean, since day one of camp, he went on the ice and then he came off the ice. He was a little injured. He played the Red Bull game. I think it's been a slow climb for Dahlin to get to his game. Look, maybe the best the thing that happened in practice, and we talked about him and Krebs, the hit, the fight, and all of that, is the fact that, okay, if you're not feeling 100%, you're not putting yourself in that position in practice, right? You're kind of just, hey, I'm just going to take it easy. I think what we're seeing now is Dahlin has fully recovered from whatever ailed him in preseason, in training camp. And I think that physical side of things is going to start stepping up. And if you're going to step up, you're going to do it against, you know, Sidney Crosby and mm-hmm. Brian Rust and Evgeny Malkin and Michael Bunting. I would assume like that Bunting-Toronto-Buffalo rivalry that we saw, remember the outdoor game in Hamilton. Like, I would think there's going to be some fireworks between Darlene and a couple of Pittsburgh tonight. That's the way I see it.
Do you agree that that's maybe, not that it needs an agreement, but do you think that's the right place to put a focus, an emphasis on right now, in the sense of how one player could dramatically change Buffalo's fortunes moving forward here?
Yeah, because I think, and especially the focus on the physical side with Darlene, because I think the points are always going to be there, and the skating and the, you know, the skill set.
But they haven't been yet, and I think that's obviously why. Because the power play is still looking for its first goal, et cetera, right?
Yeah, and he's a big part of that.
Sure.
But, you know, another thing that Lindy Ruff has mentioned about the power play on with Jeremy and Joe this morning is, he doesn't want it to be from the tops of the circle out. He wants it to be from the hash marks in. He wants everybody to be closer to the net. Mm-hmm. That leaves Darlene kind of on his own, like, you know, at the blue line a little bit, but he can sneak in a little. And as soon as the team start to, like, say, oh, crap, like, they're attacking our net, it's going to leave him wide open. They're going to converge. They're going to be four guys around the crease, and that may leave him wide open for a Matthias Samuelsson type goal where you get the puck and everybody's scrambling and nobody's got you covered. But I think that when we see Darlene involved physically, and I don't need him to be Chris Pronger out there. I don't need him to be those type of players. But think of a Rob Blake. Rob Blake wasn't like a Pronger type, I'm going to hurt you every time. But Rob Blake did have a physicality to his game that was, you couldn't.
He had big hips.
He had very big hips and a big back. He used to hit while skating backwards, a little mm-hmm. P.K. Subban-like. But I think what we see with Darlene is when the physicality is there, it spreads out to his whole game. It spreads out to his aggressive nature in front of the net, jumping on the rush, the offense. So, yeah, for me, physicality with Darlene, a healthy Darlene, makes a big difference.
I don't have the Sabre numbers in front of me, but I was intrigued by a note in the Penguins game notes today, which has me thinking more about Darlene, obviously his long-term future with the Sabres, given that this is year one of the contract extension. The Penguins listed all-time scoring duos featuring a forward and a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me thinking, like, which forward is Darlene going to play with the longest out of this current group, right? Whether it's Cousins or Thompson or whatever, right?
Who was the Pittsburgh all-time
duo? But like, so this is all-time. So now I want you to think about this. The top four all-time forward and defense duos. This is goal scoring. This is two players collaborating on a goal for their respective teams. So obviously longevity has to be a part of it here. So that's why I was phrasing the Darlene side of it the way I was. But who do you think all-time, the greatest duo, forward and defenseman, producing the most goals? Hint, they cheated. Okay. Because they did it for more than one team.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, that has to be... Would that be Jagr?
No.
It wouldn't be Jagr.
No.
Or it wouldn't be Mario. Mario only
played... What is the natural default mechanism I've tried to teach you?
To think outside the box.
No. It's always Gretzky.
Oh, I mean, all time. I thought you meant Pittsburgh. Okay, all time.
No,
yeah,
no,
Gretzky.
No. This is why I said all time. Okay. Sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. Yeah.
Okay, Gretzky with Paul Coffey.
Yes, 99 and 77 in Edmonton and L.A.
Yes, okay, yes.
Collaborated for 350 goals, which is
it's insane.
Ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Next on the list, from the late 60s and early 70s,
so that has to be Montreal?
Nope.
No. Okay.
This team also won two cups back in that window.
Late 60s and early 70s. Oh, I'm thinking, well, would it be a Phil Esposito, Bobby Orr?
Yes, correct. Okay. They are. So this is where it gets
really
interesting.
I'm feeling really lucky right now, Duffer.
This is where it gets super interesting. They collaborated on 306.
Okay, so that's not that far back. Okay.
Next on the list, 304. And it's not the Penguin duo, but it is an active duo in the NHL.
Active duo right now.
Well, technically, yes. One is not at 100% full health.
One is not 100% full health. It has to be Ovechkin and...
Nope.
No. Okay. I was thinking like Ovechkin and Carlson maybe would have been like the two guys, but... Yeah.
Somebody... Which would be a great guess, and I'd like to see where they are on that list, but yeah.
Okay.
Who is the one guy that I always try to put feathers in his cap?
Feathers in his lap. Roman Josi.
Think of it from the forward standpoint.
Well, I was thinking like, is Stamkos involved in that? But then nope. I'm like, there's nobody in Tampa Bay that stands out as this goal scoring defenseman that would have gone with Stamkos from those years. So I'm going to pass on that. I'm good after my boss.
He just scored three against the Sabres.
Oh, Kopitar and
Doughty.
Doughty, yes.
The fact that they are number three
all
time is stunning. And only two goals. Like, they would have passed him already, presumably, if Drew wasn't hurt this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're two behind Esposito and Orr, and Crosby and Letang are one behind Kopitar and Doughty.
Like, I'm surprised that Mario and Jagr are not on that list with anybody because you think of Larry Murphy, you think of some of the defensemen that the Pittsburgh Penguins had over these years. I would have thought, or even a Nick Lindstrom and somebody in Detroit, right? Like a Datsuk or Zetterberg. Like, I'm surprised like those guys.
And I don't have the full list in front of me, so I'm sure that they're not super, super far behind, but.
It's easy with Buffalo.
And, like, we just don't have that. The Penguins have it. They're one of the oldest teams in the league. They're almost 5 years older on average on their roster than the Sabres.
No, they are. Like, they're over 30 or just at 30 years old.
They're at, where were they at here? They were at 29.8.
Yeah, just under 30.
And Buffalo's at 25.3 right now, an average almost age on the full roster. It's crazy.
That is insane when you think about it, but...
Most of the time, just in case you don't know, like normally it's like a 1 to 2, maybe 3 year gap, you know, between
average age. This is a wide range between tops and, you know, bottoms or whatever. But my answer would be easy. It would be Dahlin and Thompson with the Sabres that would get there. I just think of power play. Set me up for the one timer. I'm going to give it back to you because they're righty lefty. They can play that catch and, you know, shoot kind of game, and they can both have the one timer. And, you know, maybe they don't score all the time, but they're going to help one another. So I would think Dahlin and Thompson would be, the duo that I think could get there as a defenseman and forward. But again, you got to score 350 some goals, 300 goals to get to the top five or whatever.
Pretty amazing. And it's a long ways off, as those two are still very young in their careers. But you did pick the two longest tenured Sabres right now. Dahlin is first. Thompson is second as far as games played with this team on the current roster. And that roster is in Pittsburgh tonight. It's the first of a 3-game road trip, and you'll see it on TNT, hear it on WGR Sports Radio 550, and we are rapidly approaching Hockey Halloween. I think Marty has ideas for this already, so we can't wait to join you on October 26th, 1 p.m., wear your spookiest costume, celebrate Halloween with the Sabres. They will take on the Red Wings. First 5,000 fans in attendance receive a wearable goat head themed flag. So don't miss out. Visit sabres.com/tickets today. You know that we never know what day of the week it is. And it gets even more confusing because Darren Dreger joins us next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.